Welcome to Strong Tower Radio's Resurrection Then and Now. Our subject matter experts are Pastor Jay Gallimore, Strong Tower Radio's associate speaker, retired pastor and church administrator, and advisor to many Christian ministries. Our other host is Cam Ferguson, CPA, development director of Strong Tower Radio, and more importantly, a gifted Bible student. And yours truly, Tom Majeure, production manager for Strong Tower Radio. Our subject, resurrection, is often limited to 3 days a long, long time ago. But to others, they look at it in the present. It's 3 days that are dedicated once a year. We are finding in this five-part series that the resurrection is to the glory of God and is much, much more. Pastor Jay, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Father in heaven, as we talk about today's subject, this resurrected Jesus as our high priest, we pray that we will get a glimpse of Jesus like we've never seen him before. A Jesus who is our priest and who has power to change our lives and transform us. Thank you for this picture and this reality of Jesus as our high priest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cam, would you give us an update of where we've been so far?
Yes, Tom. In our first episode, we explored the historical fact of the resurrection and the truth of Scripture, its reliability from a variety of aspects. Then we explored justification, the power of the resurrection and the justification, Jesus justifying us, giving us a clean slate, just as if we'd never sinned. And then we explored in episode 3, sanctification, how the resurrection demonstrates the power of God, not only to be freed from the grave. You cannot keep a perfect man in the grave. The power that resurrected Jesus is the same power that transforms lives today, not only to justification, but to living out that justification is called sanctification. And it's the process whereby we are to renew our minds through surrender, by spending time in God's Word, by praying, seeking Him, asking Him to change our lives so that we can reflect the beautiful character of Jesus. And now we're exploring how after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven and is now ministering for us in the heavenly sanctuary. That's what we will explore today, and we're looking forward to a better understanding of Jesus, our heavenly high priest.
And listeners, if you have missed any of the previous episodes, you will want to go to strongtowerradio.org to our resource tab at the top of the page, and look for this series, Resurrection Then and Now. Pastor Jay, will you introduce today's subject?
Yes, it's very important for Christians to understand why we need a high priest. It's because of sin and what it's done into our lives and how it's built a barrier between us and God. God hates sin because sin causes death and destruction among his children. So, you know, anything that hurts your children, you abhor that sort of thing. And God abhors sin. God hates sin. And he abhors evil. And when we are sinners and we have transgressed God's law and we brought sorrow and destruction to the universe, and you can see it all around the world that we live in, then to be reconciled with God, we need somebody that can reconcile us back to God. Now, God loves us. And he wants us to be reconciled to him. So he gave us his only begotten son on Calvary's cross. And Jesus died. He paid the price. He was resurrected. This resurrection means everything. And he's resurrected. And he goes back to heaven to be our high priest, to be our mediator, to go before God and to bring us back into harmony with God. That's powerful, because it means everything to us. So Jesus, as our high priest, he was resurrected to be our high priest, to be our mediator, to do great and mighty things for us so that we can be brought back into harmony with God and live forever. So that can bring us to the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is so powerful. And I'd like to start in Hebrews chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 14 to 18. I will not read all of that, but it's talking about Jesus and it's talking about what he went through. Notice that it says this in verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children," talking about us, "have partaken of flesh and blood," in other words, we're human, we're fallen human beings. Christ is not fallen. He came and he took on himself our fallen nature. Now, Jesus is perfect, never succumbed to temptation. He was never a fallen being. He got his character from his heavenly father, and he got his nature, his human nature, from his mother. We don't have time to get into the incarnation. It's a marvelous subject. But Jesus took on our liabilities. He took on the temptations of our carnal nature. But thank God he never succumbed to it. He likewise has shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those, us fallen human beings who have been captured by the devil, release those who through fear of death, every human being fears death, because sin pays wages, and the wages of sin is death. And that's why you look around everywhere that people are dying. I just got news this morning of a friend who passed away. Death is everywhere. Who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Sin enslaves us. So Jesus came down and shared our lot. And he does that in order to do this. For indeed, he, Jesus, does not give aid to angels, because angels have never fallen. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. That's all of us. We need this aid. We need this help. We need this real help in real time. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be. Why did he go through the suffering? Why did he come to this earth? Why did he go through death? So that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. In other words, he understands us. Jesus has been here. He's one of us. And because of that, he will be a merciful and faithful high priest. He will not leave anything unturned in order to bring us into harmony with our Heavenly Father again. He will offer his sacrifice for the sins of the people. So Jesus now pleads his blood in our behalf, takes that sacrifice he did once and for all on Calvary's cross, and he goes to heaven and says, "Father, look at the scars. For Jay Gallimore, I'm pleading my blood. Forgive him. I pay the penalty for Jay. I pay the penalty for Tom and for Cam and for everybody that's listening to us. I've paid their penalty. Look at my scars." And the Father says, "I see you. I accept you. I accept your sacrifice." So Jesus is able to reconcile us, able to reconcile us to the Heavenly Father and to aid us in our temptations. And oh, are we tempted down here? And oh, do we need help? Now, Cam, I love this next part. It says Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, but particularly I love verses 1 and 2. Would you share that with us and perhaps give us some comment on that?
Yes. Hebrews 3, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." And consider, Paul is saying here in Hebrews 3 that, holy brethren, think about this. Jesus is called an apostle. He was sent from heaven to become like his brethren in every way except having sin, so that he could understand us, so that we could have a complete, not just a greater degree, but complete confidence in him as someone who can be our advocate to be very effective. That's what a high priest is, an advocate with God. And as you were describing Hebrews 2, I had the thought that, you know, there are so many who are afraid of God the Father, and they think that somehow Jesus is having to convince the Father to pardon us. But no, the Father loves us just as much as Jesus does. Jesus said to Philip, "If you have seen me, if you've seen my character, you've seen the Father." And the priestly system is a transparent way that God is dealing with the sin problem, and he wants it to be very clear that he is giving everything of himself to make every effort to save as many as will come to him. And mercy continues to be extended to us even to this very day, and whosoever will may come and drink from the water of life freely. And so Paul is saying, look, look at what God is doing for us. He has come to us, and now he is working in our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary as our high priest. And it led him elsewhere to write, if God is for us, who can be against us?
That is so true. And I want to emphasize a point that you made. And why do we have to have reconciliation with God if he loves us? And that's because God is the judge of the universe. So he's not only our creator, not only our father, but he's also the judge. So he's the guardian of truth and goodness and righteousness and unselfish love. We have all violated all of that. We have violated unselfish love. And there's a price to be paid for that. And so God the Father has to make sure that when he reconciles us, he does it according to what is right and good. Besides, there's the entire rest of the universe. The Bible describes these marvelous beings, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels around the throne of God. We're pictured in Job with the sons of God. We think parallel that to Adam, who is called a son of God, that represents those unfallen worlds out there that meet in heaven. The whole universe wants to make sure that God the Father doesn't just reconcile us because he's just a nice person. He is a very nice person, but he reconciles us legitimately and in reality and brings us back in harmony after we have violated the unselfish, marvelous love of God, violated God's law that protects that love, and violated the harmony of the universe. So that's why we need a high priest who intercedes wisely and with, he's got the goods to intercede for us. He's got those things that will satisfy the justice of God, and that way brings us back into harmony. Yes, our Father loves us, but he's also the judge. He's watching over righteousness and peace and life. By the way, the law of God, according to Romans chapter 7, is life. Those 10 commandments are life. And so God wants to bring us back into harmony with life. But it's by a priest that takes our sinful, fallen mess that we've made, and he is the one that not only is able to pay the price, but he's also able to transform us. And he says, Father in heaven, this is why I want you to accept Jay. I know he's been whatever he's been, and he's violated everything here, but I have paid his price. I've paid his penalty. I've changed his heart. He's got a new heart, and I want you to accept him because of what I have done for him. What a high priest we have, and how much we need him.
Here in verse 5 and 6 of Hebrews chapter 3, it continues expounding on Moses, who was indeed faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So there's a clarity there that Paul is saying, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing in the hope, in the faith of our justification, then we are of God's house. And so that continued surrender experience is again pointed to as throughout Scripture, God is doing everything He can to save us. And it is in our court, if you please, that will we accept and give our lives to Him.
Now, Pastor Jay, the word house was used in a couple of passages here. Is that talking about God's family?
Well, I think Pam brought that out in a very nice way. And it is, we want to be part, particularly of Christ's family, because Christ as high priest is in the business of bringing this earthly family, his children from this earth, who've fallen, who've been wrecked and made wretched by sin and all the devastation. He's in the business of restoring us back. He's taking his family that he's come to earth to get. He's taking this family and he's restoring us to the heavenly family. So it is the house of Christ, but it's also something more in one sense. And that is that Christ is also high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. This heavenly sanctuary has all been set up so that Christ's mediation, that Christ's ministry for us before the Father and before the rest of the universe, that it's all set up to be successful for all of us who are living in this world, and that we can be restored to God. So as we watch the ministry of Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary, that's all been set up to bring the Christian church, bring everybody that's died in Christ, to everybody that's put their hope and faith in Him, to everybody that's been justified by Him, to everybody that's been transformed by Him, to bring them at His coming, and we're going to talk about that in our next section, to bring them to the full, complete restoration to the heavenly family and to eternal life. That's why that sanctuary in heaven is there. That's why Jesus is functioning in it as our high priest. This is all set up to give us power to be like Jesus and to be overcomers.
You're listening to The Resurrection Then and Now. Today's episode is focusing on the high priestly ministry of the resurrected Christ with Pastor Jay Gallimore, Cam Ferguson, and Tom Majeure. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.